Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Committed the worst offense that can be committed against this community. He has selfishly wasted precious time that could have been put to productive use. Miles was discovered trying to activate his technological devices so he could return to his ship.
Well, Alexis, I'm sure he only wanted to get to the medical equipment which might have saved Meg's life.
Thank you, Joseph. I knew you would feel that way, and I'm glad you said it, so that all of us could see the true danger these two represent. Our very own Joseph defending what he knows is wrong. He knows that if we had spent our energy all these years trying to escape, we'd all be dead today. This is good. This is a test of our convictions, and we will survive.
All right, here we go. Clicking buttons, pushing record, starting podcasts.
Peeing on the floor, cats and dogs sleeping together.
Because this is old hat to us at this stage.
Old hat.
Old hat.
Old hat.
And not a hat on a hat.
Smelly head.
What? I was going to say we know well enough not to do a hat on a hat, but I don't think that's true. Okay. You don't know what that is? Look it up.
When my hat becomes old, I wear it as underwear.
Okay.
It's what I call my underwear, old hat.
Okay. Okay. That went from avant-garde joke construction into good old-fashioned vaudeville joke construction.
Potty mouth.
I find that very impressive. Okay.
Potty mouth.
Hello.
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 Hello, and welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Hi.
Hi. It's, episode 202 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast, and we have the pleasure this week of discussing a Star Trek Deep Space Nine episode.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an episode from season two.
Yep.
We've discussed a few other episodes from season two.
Mm-hmm.
This episode that we're discussing is episode number 15
mm-hmm.
from season two of Star Trek Deep Space
Nine. Which is one before 16.
It is one before 16, which is Shadow Play.
Mm-hmm.
And we discuss Shadow Play in episode 170 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Chief O'Brien?
Yes, that's where we get the Chief O'Brien sound effect.
Oh, shit.
That is
Chief
much
O'Brien.
Much appreciated, much loved.
Finally comes circled around.
This episode comes after Whispers, which is episode 14 of the season. And we discuss that in episode 142 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Damn, dude.
That's the one where O'Brien feels awkward around his friends. It's a good one. You remember that?
Oh, yeah. I remember. Yeah. Yeah. There was a thing about it.
Yeah.
There was a thing about it. I remember now.
I remember that one.
There was a thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
There was. So this one, the episode that we're discussing this week, however, is entitled Paradise.
Paradise. Did they say that in the episode?
They did.
I totally
that's
forgot.
That's why I was looking at you like that.
I was like, I hope they didn't say it in the episode because I totally forgot. I didn't do the thing this week.
Yeah, O'Brien said something about, I guess they had to crash to find their paradise.
Yeah, you know, like, if all the episodes where they would have said the word, it seems like they would have used paradise in...
They did.
Yeah, they did. And
O'Brien said it.
There's actually another episode called like Paradise Lost, which is about, it's a season four episode, something about martial law.
That's a great episode. It's a two-parter.
Yeah.
Sounds like it took a crash landing for her to find her paradise.
You do have it.
I do have it.
What the fuck is wrong with you, man?
You fooled us.
No, I fooled myself.
We've been in recent weeks, and in fact today, we were talking about how as soon as we say something on the podcast, as soon as a podcast episode is done, we barely remember it. I was speaking today online with Jesse from the Open Pike Night podcast and talking about that phenomena. And now we've progressed from I don't remember what we did, you know, a couple months back to I don't remember what I did 3 minutes ago.
Yeah, you know what it was is it was serendipitous that he said paradise after at the end of that joke, because I remember recording the joke but I forgot that the word paradise was in it, and had Patrick not brought up that line, I would not have brought that joke up until later, and by then we probably would have thought not to
and
think
you
about
wouldn't
it.
Have said serendipitous.
I would have said serendipitous.
Precisely.
Jesse is fond of people using large and voluptuous words. Okay, couple things first. This week's episode was selected by Dan's bespoke algorithm. It's an algorithm he crafted. It's a podcast topic selection algorithm in which he takes, you know, the previous episode of It's Got Star Trek. He runs it through a program to convert the audio into a transcript, a digital transcript. And then that digital transcript is fed into this special algorithm, and based on the words and comparing it to all the Star Trek scripts in the database, it decides which episode we should talk about next.
All the words in Star Trek.
And it'll spit out a ranked list of episodes. And it's what told us to watch. Jesse thinks this is hilarious. It's what told us that this week we should be doing Deep Space Nine's Paradise. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Now, on Twitter, David Joseph Moody, he suggested that we run something else through the algorithm and see what episodes it suggests we do. Mm-hmm. And we said, what do you think we should run through it? And he suggested, what was it, Dan? An article about the WGA strike?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
So, Dan, I believe...
Now I remember.
I believe you went ahead and did this.
Mm-hmm.
You performed this experiment.
I did. You ready for it?
I'm fucking ready.
You're the only one that could have done it.
Okay.
Okay, let's do it!
It was... Sorry.
Evidence!
Oh, man.
That's my favorite one.
Yeah, I know. That was a good one.
Evidence!
Thank you. Thank you. I love it.
That one's great. I went and I found just what is the WGA actually striking for? And this is an article written, posted on Collider.com.
Colitis.
Colitis.com. I ran that article through, the algorithm, and what the algorithm first came up with, I wish we had like a drum roll or something, but we don't really have anything like that.
Jesse can pretend to do a drum roll. I can use this, you know, you gave me the spoons business.
Oh, yeah.
But nobody likes it. Everyone gets mad when I do this.
Oh, man.
Dan gave this to me as a present.
Mm-hmm.
But we get complaints.
So the first result after running... what is the WG actually striking for on Collider.com of episode based upon the article of Star Trek that they should watch? The first choice that came out was Second Chances. Second Chances from Star Trek The Next Generation.
Yeah, which we discussed in...
that sounds familiar.
In an episode of IGST. I don't remember. It wasn't too long ago that we discussed it.
Mm-hmm. And that's the one where...
Riker is duplicated.
Right. Riker is duplicated. So I think that is actually quite related to some of the concerns that the WGA has, right? You know, AI duplicating them, you know, and doing the thing.
Is AI the one getting the second chance, or is the writers getting the second chance in an AI world?
It's both, somehow. Okay. I don't know. It's talking about creating duplicates
of
things.
The next episode on the list?
Okay, Second Chances was the first. Second was Carpenter Street, which is an Enterprise episode.
And that's another episode we discussed long ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's an old school, it's got Star Trek.
Number three was Meridian.
Yeah, I think that's just a shitty episode. That's a shitty episode of.
We're not going to do that.
Yeah,
of what?
Deep Space Nine.
Oh yeah. The next one is Paradise, which is the one that we did.
We're discussing, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
This very episode.
Yeah. The fifth one is Damage. I should have written down like what series these were from, because I can't remember.
I think Damage is from Enterprise.
Damage is from Enterprise. Yes. The sixth one would be...
There's a little quiz for us.
Yeah, this is a little quiz. Statistical prob... That gives me time
That's
to look
Deep
it
Space
up.
Space Nine.
Okay, statistical probabilities.
That's Deep Space Nine, for sure.
Okay, number seven was Cold Fire.
Voyager, maybe?
Yep.
That's like a Voyager-style name. Yeah. Voyager started going in that direction.
Number eight.
Here are two words.
Number eight was Day of Honor.
Oh, that's...
Belana's on it?
That's very familiar, but I'm not placing it. Voyager?
Belana's on it.
It's going to be Voyager, right?
It's Voyager.
Yeah, that I figured it would be. Yeah.
Yeah. So then Masterpiece Society.
That's a TNG, isn't it?
Hey, this guy's got a masterpiece, yeah, if you know what I mean.
And then Where No Man Has Gone Before, which is that terrible Enterprise episode.
No.
No, wait.
No. Where No Man Has Gone Before is TNG. No, no. TNG. Is it Where No Man Has Gone Before or Where No One Has Gone Before?
It's Where No Man Has Gone Before, Star Trek. Oh, that's the original series.
That's the TOS.
I'm sorry.
Otherwise, it would be the TNG one.
Wait, which one was the Enterprise?
These are the Voyagers.
Oh, these are the Voyagers.
Is the Enterprise
okay,
episode.
Sorry, my
that
fault.
No one will
fault.
Discuss.
Is past tense on the list?
No past tense.
That's for once, past tense was not on the list.
Yeah.
For listeners not in the know, Dan's algorithm is excellent. It does have a quirk where it seems to often suggest that we watch past tense, either part one or part two.
Usually part two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's probably because we keep saying past
So second
tense.
Chances, why don't we all just give each other a second chance and become unified and become one and just be happy.
So you're saying people should cave to the corporate
No,
greedy
I'm saying I'm saying everyone should get what they want is what I'm saying.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Well, I just think that's great advice. So.
All right. I think we're done. We talked about the business, right? So we're good there. Thank you.
Which business?
Thank you, Mr. Moody, mm-hmm. for the suggestion. Oh, yeah. I think that was a hilarious and great idea. I think we should do more of that at some point in the future. And I kind of like that it led to an ad hoc quiz to be like, can we remember which Star Trek series the particular title is from?
Because I didn't write them down.
Interesting that we have already talked about several of those.
Well, we've done 200 episodes. Well, yeah. 200. This is our 202nd episode.
Yeah.
So,
you know.
That's a lot of Star Trek.
It's a lot of Star Trek.
We've talked about a lot of Star Trek.
But there will always be more.
Yeah, I know.
And this week, this episode, putting up the advertisement was fun because, you know, we always get a lot of engagement online, but there are certain episodes that bring out people and get people sort of interested.
Get their juices flowing.
Yes. And
why did you say it like that?
They get their juices flowing.
In this one, when I put up the the notice explaining what we were discussing, there were tons of comments, but I picked some of the prime ones. Most of these are from Facebook. So Jack Clark says, the nut jobs in this episode really grind my gears. Michael Burton says, gah, evil Janeway.
She did sound. I did notice she sounded like Janeway at a couple points.
She had a bit of that Katharine Hepburn style vibe to her.
Wait, one of them was like,
she was on
it
Seinfeld.
Would only be a waste of time.
I need some coffee.
Join us, Ben.
Yeah,
my
there's
you
a
probably
vibe there.
Would have been in prison by now.
I'm
not sure I see the connection.
That kind of sounds like Janeway.
Yeah, bit. I think there's definitely a vibe. I think Michael Burton. Good point. It did come across.
I mean,
that
I wasn't
way.
Like looking at her and thinking Janeway the whole time, but a couple times I was like, that was a little Janeway. Anyways,
I hadn't thought of it until this gentleman mentioned it, and you only confirmed and supported that position with your sound clips.
Mm-hmm.
David Pratt says that lady is almost as bad as Kai Winn.
Kai Winn. Almost. I don't know about that.
Yeah, probably not quite as bad as Kai Winn.
But she is pretty blatantly awful.
There is that cult leader-ish part.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of the cult
leader
part.
There's the narcissism, the presumption they're doing right, and willing to do wrong things for advancing their philosophy, lying to people and whatnot.
Okay, when she was saying stuff like, when Sisko was talking about saving the life of Meg or whatever, she's like, Alexis.
Meg's dead, baby.
She was like,
Meg's dead.
Yeah, Pulp Fiction.
I'm sorry, baby, I had to crash that runabout.
Alexis, runabouts are only created 2 years prior to this
episode. They're an interstellar craft.
I didn't know
about a quarter the size of your
this is a good
business.
Opportunity to talk about runabouts.
Well, I didn't know that they were invented so recently. I thought
they were invented for Deep Space Nine because you needed like something for them to get out of the the space station and
yeah, there was have adventures. Something that was more groovy
than a shuttle,
than a basic normal shuttlecraft.
Totally groovy.
It was a little more like
they were all named after rivers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I was saying, Alexis was saying, you don't understand us yet. She says, no one follows me. They follow their own hearts. And that's like very cult leader-y talk, yeah. You know, you know, just sort of saying like, oh yeah, they can do what they want. But it's like, what she doesn't mention is if they do what they want, she'll find ways to give them extra shifts.
Yep.
Or if they do something she doesn't
want. She'll put them in a box.
Or she'll like try to publicly humiliate them, be like, oh, well, I heard you had to rest this day and I guess you couldn't help the rest of the group.
Right.
But you can do what you want. You
work
know,
is
like
everyone's,
that kind of
everyone's made for work. Or, that's what we should be all be doing is just working. That's super.
And she was saying everyone agreed to the box, you know, but what was the alternative to that? It's kind of like when you're presented with a decision, it's like, oh yeah, you have freedom of choice. You don't have to sign this paper, but if you do, you're going to get locked away for good. But if, you know, and so it's like...
That wasn't her original idea. So somebody else brought that up.
The original idea was the local version of a rat with a bucket on your belly.
So I was just...
Trap the rat in the bucket on your belly.
Put us in a box instead. And it's like, yeah.
Right, exactly. So, you know, what would have been the alternative if they didn't agree, you know? I don't know. But you know what? By the end of the episode, she did actually have some integrity by the end of the episode.
Well, it'll be interesting.
She got arrested.
That she was good, but she believed in her cause. Yeah. But like, but she was also a terrible cult leader.
Her ass got arrested.
Well, I mean, I'm looking forward to this conversation. It will be interesting. One more comment from Facebook.
Patrick just said, one thing at a time, Dan.
We have one more comment from Facebook.
Fair enough.
And I just wanted to get out there because it's the comment that most amused me, because John Street says, the character was certainly a couple of kangaroos short in the top paddock. I don't know if this person's writing in from Australia. Or
weren't you trying to do kangaroo jokes like several episodes ago?
Were you trying to do kangaroo jokes? Wasn't there? There was some sort of kangaroo business.
Some sort of kangaroo was it shenanigans.
Roo for to dressing.
Oh man. That's
was that a kangaroo joke? Is Roo kangaroo?
Barely. Yeah, Roo
for dressing as opposed to Roquefort?
Roquefort dressing, yeah, which is like what old people would call blue cheese dressing, but it is Roquefort is a type of cheese in and of itself. And I erroneously believe that was like big in Australia.
Because
I thought I read it online, but really online it was just some article saying recently Roquefort has been approved for blah 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 in Australia. I was like, it must be their favorite cheese, and that's what I read, but it wasn't like I misread it. So it was an irrelevant joke that I made. But then Jesse made one about koala oil or something.
Oh shit, that's right.
I forgot that was funny.
Yeah, Jesse's was better. So.
Right.
Okay. I like on air workshopping.
Yeah, it's good.
Puns. Non-Star Trek puns.
Unrelated.
The workshop boys.
The workshop
That's
boys.
That's right. We are the workshop boys. So yeah, and we did, as we said earlier, this episode comes smack dab in between Whispers and Shadow Play. And here we actually see right at the beginning of the episode a bit of a storyline that gets followed up in Shadow Play.
Jake's a good fella.
Yeah, because Captain Sisko is asking Chief O'Brien if he can mentor Jake, because Sisko assumes that Jake needs to do some preparation to go to Starfleet Academy.
Right.
Whereas in the follow-up episode, when Captain Sisko actually gets around to talking with Jake about this, Jake is perhaps less than enthusiastic to have had Chief O'Brien selected as his mentor.
I'll have him up to his elbows in thorium grease, sir.
Chief O'Brien?
Like,
what is this thorium grease?
I don't know, man. That sounds terrible, though.
Yeah.
But
Chief O'Brien.
Yeah, for real.
Chief O'Brien?
But then O'Brien was all talking about how he's like, oh, I was terrible at mechanical stuff too, and then I learned I was great. So there's hope for Jake, but it's not in the cards, man. It's not how Jake's gonna do it, you know.
You said in the cards, which is another Deep Space Nine episode.
Oh shit!
Did we do that episode? No, I think we just
did. We do that? Didn't we do that one about Fizbin?
Yeah, that was a TOS episode.
Yeah, it was a TOS episode.
I don't think we've done In the Cards. Man, we've done enough podcast episodes that I can't remember all the episodes.
So many podcasts.
We'll have to look it up.
We had some lovely fruit.
I don't know. Some of that fruit looked a little weird.
Ha, 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 Yeah, well, O'Brien placed in wrong with you. Jake placed in the lower third of his age group in mechanical aptitude.
No. That was the right
one. So then they find an M-class planet.
There's so many fucking M-class planets.
I know, right? This one is 160 kilometers from Aurelius Minor.
I believe it was 160 million kilometers.
That's what I said.
I would hope so.
No, he's at 160.
You said just 160 kilometers.
Playback. We got to play back the tape. I swear.
That's a gravitational issue.
I swear I said million, but I can't argue with the truth. I can't argue with the truth.
Okay.
So.
These are just
the
casual verbal faux pas that are inevitable when you've produced 201 hours. No,
we're gonna just
fuck 300 some hours. Yeah. Plus, I forgot to mention on our 200th episode special. Which, by the way, if you haven't listened to it,
everyone says it's great.
You got to go listen to the 200th episode special.
It's our best episode.
It's pretty fucking fantastic. It's great. It's episode 200. Easy to find. Just a couple back in the list.
Wonderfully soothing.
But one thing I did forget
which
to mention.
Which one is this? This is 202.
This is 202.
202.
That's a lot.
But those are
your muscles must be sore from all the work today.
Cassandra.
You got that right.
Those are official episodes. We've also done, I don't know, 5, 6, something like that. We've done some bonus episodes.
Some extra shit.
Like the Star Trek by the Numbers, which is one of my favorite episodes where Dan put together this really clever
Star Trek Pickles
game show.
First time.
Yeah, we've done the Pickles episode. It had nothing to do with Star Trek. It's not Star Trek. Episode 1 was It's Got Pickles. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot to go check out. There's lots of hours. Anyway.
So many pickles that day.
I digress.
Full of so many pickles.
Distracted.
We had an HVAC podcast.
They never talk about pickles. They never talk about Star Trek and pickles. No, they never talk about pickles in Star Trek. They talk about tomato soup, but they don't talk
about
pickles.
Are you sure?
There's got to have been some pickles in Star Trek. You don't think so?
I can look it up.
At the bar?
Point.
Maybe they have at least some.
At the bar, don't they have some
pickled Ferengi beetles or something? You know, pickled.
There's a lot of bars in Star Trek.
Pickled Domjot Bumblebum.
I'll look at the database of Star Trek.
Play Domjot Human.
Of Star Trek transcripts, and I'll see if the word pickle ever comes up
Excellent.
In Star Trek.
Excellent. I love all these small little research projects we give ourselves.
I know. We're really good.
We are really good.
We're so great.
We're so wonderful.
Oh, man.
You're Danny Tasks.
Chief O'Brien.
Chief O'Brien.
Well, Chief O'Brien and Captain Sisko.
Danny Quick Tasks.
Sabotage. We will permit the conceit that for whatever reason, the commander of the station, the commanding officer, and his chief engineer are just going to kind of buddy up and go like exploring some planets, doing some surveys.
Right.
It seems ludicrous. that's what would happen.
Yeah. They could have sent a couple of Bajoran dudes to do that.
Or anybody lower ranking than the head of the station. And the head of the engineering.
Chief of operations.
Yeah.
Speaking of Bajorans.
What are women's fashions like back home now?
That had to do with Bajorans because he said something about Bajoran.
Is that where the laugh came from?
Part of the laugh. It was sort of a conglomerate. Ended up being a good canned laughter. That's when that means I'll have to alter.
That means I'll have to alter everything I own.
Yeah.
And then that's where they laugh. Then O'Brien says that might just be the Bajoran style she sees in Deep Space Nine, referring to his wife Keiko, who's been replicating long dresses lately. So that was indirectly related to
they would
Bajorans.
Never wear replicating.
She also might be replicating longer dresses because she's feels disgusted by Miles O'Brien.
I feel like I've seen that Joseph guy before. He's been in Star Trek before or something.
You know,
Joseph.
I don't know. I didn't look at the. He has not been in Star Trek.
He's been in like every TV show ever.
Yeah,
if you look him up,
he's a character actor.
he's pretty old at this point.
He goes by the
alive.
Name Steve Vinovich.
He's been in like every show since about like 1970.
Yeah, tons of them. And a good actor. He did a good job part with this role.
Other dude, that like 90s dude, Longbowman sort of fella, he's been in like a lot of shows too.
Vinod.
Newer shows
Vinod,
since the 90s.
Vinod.
Keep forgetting that dude's name.
She was Alexis's son, I think. I think that was the deal.
Yeah. Was Alexis married to the dude, the other guy?
No, I don't think so.
I think it was.
Were they?
The guy with the hat?
I think Joseph was, wasn't she married to Joseph?
Yeah,
guy?
Joseph, right.
That was the understanding.
That's got to be some fucked up shit, like, to have your mom from Vinod's point of view, or your mom like all saying like, yeah, I'd let my son die for the cause, for the community.
He was a piece of shit too.
He was down though.
They all came up on some Robin Hood ass shit like at the beginning. They were all wearing some, and then at the end, not at the end, but in the middle when they got O'Brien, they were gonna throw him in the box. They were carrying like an arrow as defense. They didn't even have a spear. They
it was
had
just
some,
a pointy.
They had some arrow. I wonder if that was like a wardrobe problem or something. Like they didn't have any spear.
We can't afford a spear.
So it was just carry an arrow around.
Give
but
a
no
motherfucker
bow.
An arrow. I'd be scared of a motherfucker with an arrow.
I mean, I guess I would if I didn't have anything. But still, you'd think they'd have other weapons. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever. Doesn't matter.
I don't think she lets them have weapons.
Well,
she lets them have arrows.
Well, we're
you have to, like, you know.
You have to protect yourself.
Kill beasts.
When you're kill anti-technology beasts. Agrarian lifestyle.
Yeah. Okay. So we have Captain Sisko.
I think they were just hunter
Commander
gatherers.
Sisko at this stage.
I don't know about that.
Commander Sisko because...
Oh, no, they were girls.
Because the studio was racist. He's Commander Sisko, not Captain Sisko, which he should have been right from the beginning. But that's a separate story for another day.
Man, what a bummer.
But Commander Sisko and O'Brien, they decide, okay, there's some people living here. We're not going to call for backup. we're just going to beam our asses down.
Yeah, just check it out. What's up down there? I don't know. There's some duonetic field.
They didn't bring anybody else on the runabout.
It's
it was
fine.
Just two dudes on the runabout.
None of this stuff bothers me.
I didn't give a shit.
I partly pointed out.
I didn't even, honestly. Usually I'm like thinking about stuff like that, but for whatever reason with this episode, I didn't think about that at all.
Because,
I don't know, maybe I'm giving it a leeway because it's like old DS9 or something.
The reason why I pointed out is because you have so many obnoxious troll people who complain about quote unquote new Trek, and they're like, this is ridiculous. This is so silly.
This is ridiculous.
They're all like, on Strange New Worlds, they're like, Captain Pike would never go against an admiral's orders, or why would Captain Pike fly down to the planet without a way to get back? It's like, look. It's just, they're telling a story here, and none of you motherfuckers complained when it was TNG. You might have maybe a little on Deep Space Nine, but probably not. The point is you get your characters in the spots they need to be to tell the story that's going to be told, right? So O'Brien and Sisko, they end up on this planet with and they get captured by the Robin Hood people and taken to the happy little village. And we're now presented with a story which initially appears to be a debate, a sort of a discussion, an interrogation of sophisticated technology versus more unsophisticated technology. Mm-hmm. I'm using those terms purposefully because they weren't living like a natural lifestyle, because first of all technology is natural because it's produced by natural beings.
Right.
Second of all, they're still using technology. An arrow is technology. A house is technology.
Well, I was
is technology.
When O'Brien was like walking around with that compass,
a torture box is technology.
When he had that compass to look for the source, I was wondering if he made that compass or if that was like was that allowed technology? That in my head, I was wondering. Do they think it would be? Is that two technology?
Did he knock that dude out and then he made the compass?
No, Dan's point is brilliant because, or more accurately, putting it in the story was brilliant, and then Dan being very observant and catching that, because that's a really good way to critique and challenge Alexis's philosophy, because her philosophy is all about we don't need the technology, but he did that using her own shit.
Yeah, right.
And so should that be allowed? In her philosophy, really it should be.
Well, he used like a gourd or something.
And it proves that she doesn't actually care necessarily, because I want to debate you a little bit, Dan, but not yet.
Okay.
Later.
Do your thing.
About the quote unquote sticking to her whatever. I don't entirely disagree with you, but I want to challenge that a little bit. And that's the kind of thing where it's like, okay, is how much of it is actually her philosophy versus she just wants to do whatever the fuck she wants to do. And
she'll
change things.
The whole reason they have to stay at the planet is because there's a duonetic field created by some technology she just got buried in the ground.
Yes,
the premise is faulty.
But we start with this initial idea where at first we think we're having classic Star Trek, sophisticated technology versus less sophisticated. Is there a positive or negative to either? And we're going to take a quick break, but when we get back, we'll talk about what story did they actually end up telling? Well, we'll find out. in just a moment. We'll be right back.
Oh, shit.
Okay, we are back.
Oh.
You are listening to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
It's wonderfully soothing.
It is. This week is a wonderfully soothing podcast.
I too am
podcast.
Listening to the It's Got Star Trek.
Yeah, we're just having a chill, relaxing time like we do every week.
Mm-hmm. Everything's cool, wonderful, man.
Chill.
Just relax.
Get our goopy oils and rub each other, all three of them.
I don't think
rubbing
so.
Gooblies.
Rubber.
Gleebly globs.
Rubber gleeble globs on our.
No.
Gleeble globes.
What?
Ooh.
No.
Gibble. That's my new. It's one of my new catchphrases. That's going to be my other new catchphrase.
So Chief O'Brien.
Thorium grease.
You and your thorium grease. I know it.
What do you use that on, thorium grease?
You lube up the engine parts.
Jeffrey's tubes?
You lube up the Jeffrey's tubes so you can slide through them.
Lube up them Jeffrey. You got those Cardassian Jeffrey tubes, you got to extra lube them
just
up.
Don't put them on
really,
the ladders.
They're really hard. Like, there's like spikes in there.
Oh, spooky.
They could have made them a couple feet taller, but then they wouldn't be Jeffrey's tubes. They'd be some other kind of
tubes. I wished I were a little bit taller.
They'd be like...
I wish I were a baller.
Hey, Patrick, like 20 years ago called. They want their popular song back.
Oh, shit.
Okay,
it's older
song.
Than that.
Skilo.
It's older than 20.
Was it late 90s?
Yeah.
Shit.
It's like 25 years.
Whatever.
Shit.
25 years.
It's like a 30-year-old song.
So let me get back to what I was saying before, because like I said,
I had no idea what that was.
When they land on the planet, this is what we find out. We find out that these folks were planning on settling someplace. I forget exactly where, someplace else.
It didn't matter. They got tricked.
They had life support issues. They had to land on the planet. And then when they did so, whoopsie daisy, turns out the planet's got some magic business that makes all their technology not work.
Oh. Now, just plain dead.
That's a setup. That's a setup for a story that pits high technology versus less sophisticated technology. And frankly, a lot of that stuff's not... I mean, you know what we mean by less sophisticated. I'm being very narrow in my terms here because I get very annoyed when people refer to primitive technology, which is not a valid term because, frankly, most of that technology is pretty fucking sophisticated.
That's a point of view. Yeah.
Animal husbandry and early agriculture and early weaponry is exceptionally sophisticated and takes a high degree of skill to
do properly. They made fruit and vegetables.
I think we know what you mean.
I know. I just like to make the point because sometimes people are all like, no, it's just say primitive. It's space lasers versus arrows. It's not as easy as that.
Space lasers.
You can do a lot of damage with an arrow. Anyway.
So yeah. You're going to like tell talk. You were talking about the
damage.
Point of technology and like.
No, I'm saying you think that's where this story is going.
Shatter bones.
But then throughout the course of the story, first, we start seeing the crazy behavior from Alexis, the cult lead behavior, right? Mm-hmm. Putting people in box to torture
join
them.
Like that.
Then, of course, by the end, which we've already talked about, by the end of the episode, we find out she planned this shit from the beginning. She created technology, obtained technology in order to do this.
There's
plan,
a word
the
for
plan
that.
They
to
were
go.
Doomed from the get-go.
So the point is they told a different story than they set up. And to me, it's a very entertaining and interesting story. I watched this episode a number of times, and I always really find it an interesting and engaging tale. The problem is, it gets a little bit muddied because now instead of being a sort of a debate between technology, you know, different levels of technology or whatever, different lifestyles, it's not really a debate about different lifestyles because now it turns out that this person did this all on purpose. And so like, it makes the ending a little unclear because the people are all like, well, we're going to stay here because we will figure this out.
So that was weird that they decided.
We like
this
fascist collectivism.
I mean, I get that they were making some kind of point about them staying behind that they were used to, but still, it was just kind of like, well,
kind of didn't buy it.
She fucked your shit up, man.
Like, and
I would buy it more if it was an accident, but I mean, I guess that was their point, is that she was a successful cult leader.
Well,
I don't know.
Consider this.
Consider this. Consider this.
Consider if they had indeed told a story where the leader of this group was not doing this horrible, mean stuff.
She was so mean.
And it really became...
Did she send you here to make love to me?
That one is somehow more awkward that he said it like that as opposed to like have sex. But I guess they couldn't say it like that.
That's Cisco style, dude.
Did she send you here to make love to me?
That's how he talks. He doesn't say sex. He says make love.
Make love.
He's like, are you Ben down Cisco. To clown?
Yeah, right.
Does she want you to fuck me?
Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to.
But anyway, my main point not that it would necessarily make the story better. I just think that it would be interesting to have that story. Like, it turns out it was an accident. It turns out that it's just a hardline philosophy that's developed. And perhaps Alexis led that philosophy and encouraged it and sort of influenced people. But
she totally came up with the whole thing.
If you removed all the malice from her end and all the bad acts on her end, I'm kind of more interested in that story. No matter how, which position the writers ended up
in. So you're not interested in the cult story.
It's not that I'm not interested in it. It's just that it doesn't say much. There's no broader moral because all of that, any moral discussion about, like, for example, one of the things they talk about is that they lost a lot of people because they haven't been able to replicate medicines and stuff like that. Get the medicines they need. Right. And there's a moral debate to be had about if you do find these supposed benefits of living this lifestyle of better community, maybe safer communities, but people are happier, whatever. You could argue all those things might be true. And it's like, is the trade-off okay? That's an interesting debate to be had.
Right.
That debate goes out the window and it's like, oh no, this person has sabotaged people. These people died because...
Sabotage.
because of purposeful, first-degree, premeditated sabotage.
Sabotage. Yeah.
Do you think she actually... Well, okay, she sabotaged, like, their technology, but, like, she was going for a certain thing because...
Because she said that she picked that planet, that specific planet, like everything was planned out.
Right.
And so she lied to all those people.
But at the end, which was another intriguing part that I kind of wanted to know more about, which maybe just was just sort of like there's some dissonance there, was the fact that like you were saying, she planted this whole thing. She like, this whole thing was a ruse. But at the very end, she was like, I'm willing to die for this thing I made. And that was what was weird because she seemed like this phony.
Yeah, but
this,
she wasn't going to be dying. She's just going to go to New Zealand to a Federation prison.
Yeah, but I mean, she was all smiling. She never once showed anger, which was crazy. She never looked like stressed about anything.
She was a kook.
See, even when she was,
she was a few kangaroos short in the paddock, in the upstairs paddock.
Even when she was like discovered, she was still just kind of like, yeah, cool. I want my community to thrive. I'd let my son die for this. And they both went to prison. I don't care if you're not dying. Going to fucking prison sucks.
Yeah.
And like, so I'm saying that like,
even Federation prison on New Zealand.
Because
all the guards flatten out all their vowels. Mm. Welcome, flatten all the veils, New Zealand style.
It seems like that she had some sense of belief in this cause.
You just eat kiwi all day.
I agree with that. Mm-hmm. I do believe that and she was why, in a sense a true believer. Because write all those books, you're a true believer.
She had
those books before she was shipwrecked.
What made it interesting was that she sabotaged. She seemed like this phony cult leader the whole time, but she actually bought into her own sort of shit. I don't know.
I agree with that. But it's always interesting. When you, and again, this is something that they could have interrogated more, but they didn't in the confines of this particular
episode. Right, I would have liked to know a little more about that.
And they've done it in other episodes of Star Trek where they do kind of get at the debate, the moral debate between, okay, you have strongly held beliefs, and then in addition to having those strongly held beliefs, you're willing to cheat and lie to support those beliefs. And that's where things get interesting, right? Because it's one thing to have strongly held beliefs and then shit just falls apart and doesn't work, or maybe shit works because your beliefs are right, or maybe shit works in spite of your beliefs just because it happens to be working anyway. But the idea of like, she had to have that machine turn off the technology.
Well, of course, yeah.
She had to punish people. She had to lie to people in order to maintain order. So that's a form of cheating.
I'm totally with you on that.
And so that's why it's an interesting discussion that would be if they had had it in this episode, which is sort of the irony of like, you are a true believer in something that you have to cheat to make happen.
I think, and that's kind of what I was saying,
and
too.
Rationalize that behavior to say it's okay for me to, it's the classic like, oh, I can murder somebody if I get something else I want.
I think we were saying the same thing.
We are
saying the same thing. Although the whole when they put O'Brien like in the prison thing, Meg died. So it was like kind of a double whammy.
But they didn't put O'Brien in the prison thing.
Well, whatever. They put Cisco in the box. But when Meg died...
What's in the box?
When Meg died, instead of taking responsibility...
That's from the movie Seven. Sorry.
When Meg died, instead of taking responsibility for the treatment, she shifts the blame to O'Brien.
Classic.
Yeah.
Which is convenient because it fucks up the techno dudes. But mm-hmm. like, yeah, that was another example of her not taking responsibility. And it was like, it's a double whammy because her medicine failed.
Because
they didn't have it all worked out. But yeah. instead of taking... taking responsibility for it, she conveniently shifted it to people who she wanted to get rid of. I don't think she tried to kill Meg, but like, you know, it was just sort of a convenient way to do that.
She certainly didn't try to save her.
That's the whole thing with these cult leaders is they don't take responsibility. Like,
yeah. someone, she takes responsibility for the good things.
For the good things.
She's like, I did this. Everyone who, all these great things that happened were because of me. It's like, oh, these people died. It's like, oh, well, you know, that's just some shit that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That has nothing to do with me.
Well,
that's just
how many people
happened.
Did they start with? Because like in this kind of a situation, you're going to have like, you're going to have some serious loss of life before things stabilize. When you just throw people into the wilderness
there was a production note I saw where they wanted to have the ship be much bigger. And both to look cooler and also to imply that they had lost a lot of people because they weren't going to hire like more actors, but it didn't work out. Like they just couldn't afford it.
It
kind of comes across as being like, oh, it's like a settlement colonization ship that's got like 10 people on it.
Yeah.
So the other cult thing,
we just call it the cabin.
The other cult leader thing she did was when, not taking, like you said, taking responsibility for the good things, but not for the things that were unfortunate. Like when she took Ben out and wouldn't give him water. And she's like, given this hurts me too. It's out of my controls. It's like, I need your help.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you need to give me water. You need to give me help. My help, by help, you mean you want me to agree with everything you say.
You want me to you want to torture me into submission.
Yes. Yeah. Right. And then when he's talking about the hand of God, she's like, fate brought us here. That's another like cult thing. It's just like, I don't do things, it's fate, or it's a higher power, or it's this thing, I'm not responsible, and sort of just delivering bad news and saying it's not your fault, it's someone else's. So, yeah, she was definitely a fucking cult, a cult dude. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Again, that all makes for a very entertaining episode.
Did he drink the water? Or did he not drink
the water? No, he refused to drink the water.
He didn't drink the water and he didn't take off his uniform, right?
He saw her shit from the start. Even though she was being like, it'll make you feel better if you take off the uniform. He knew. He was like, no, I know what you're doing.
He's all Starfleet.
Yeah, and the fact that she, when you're talking about pads, Patrick, the fact that she wrote on pads and that like...
pads?
And Vinod never... ate from replicators. It's like that in and of itself is not bad, but it's the pattern of behavior of surrounding everything that's coming together. And it's like, huh, interesting. She was never into technology. It just so happens they're on a, you know,
except she was willing to
invent some, like,
to learn enough technology to invent a technology to undermine the technology. Again, using the thing that you're philosophically opposed to.
Right, exactly.
Methods you're philosophically opposed to achieve your philosophical utopia. And it's in there implicitly, but I'm just saying, I don't know, maybe they could have done a little bit more with the episode to make it like a little, get into this discussion
because
a little
they're
bit
really
more.
Only they get arrested because they shot at O'Brien or something, right? Like, you know, and they endangered a bunch of people. Like, that wasn't like this. Like, it was just like the two
of them. Yeah, it wasn't clear why he went, why her son, I guess because her son attacked O'Brien.
Well,
And he also knew about it. And I think that's the other thing that was kind of interesting. I like that they did this because I think in a normal version of this story, the son is a sort of an ignorant person who's just like loves his mom. And so he's just like, oh, I'll just do what my mom says. And they sort of portray him as that, but at the very end of the episode, it turns out it was like, oh no, he knew the entire time about everything. That's the implication. She's like, he's the only one who understood my pain.
Yeah, well,
the only
that old guy with a floppy hat. He doesn't know what the hell.
No, right. It was kind of interesting that they had the son be complicit. Does the son have any lines? I can't remember. Maybe he has one. I can't remember him having any lines. He's just sort of prancing about with his bow and arrow the whole time.
Yeah, 90s longbowman dude.
You got a real talent for this, Ben. Most of the others, they'd only eaten replicated food before they got
here.
Oh,
that's right. That's
the flavor
right,
of the foods we prepare quite. Yeah, my mother would never let me have. And he's got like maybe a couple.
Well, and you know, going back to what you were saying, Dan, about there's nothing inherently wrong about having, you know, preferring one type of food to another or preferring to write
right.
in
but
a
the
book
pattern of the sort of all the pieces fitting together.
Well, and specifically, I think, and again, this is to a degree, of course, subjective and all that. I tend to be nervous around super strict doctrines, right? Mm-hmm. There's certain so it's not only doctrinal behavior that is significantly different than the norm. Who knows? That might be the right thing to do. The norm can suck balls, but
it often does.
But when there's like that inflexibility, that rigidity, I can understand some of the appeal to that. Maybe there's some benefits there. But me personally, when I hear something like that from a character like this, that's what's making me nervous about this character being like, wait a second,
as a viewer for sure. But from Sisko's point of view, it wouldn't be as obvious to I think your Star Trek character, but Sisko's like, you know, he's observant.
Well, the thing is to consider Sisko's like Pike. Sisko likes to cook. Sisko's a chef.
Oh yeah,
and he no right. doubt in
well,
fact
his dad's
we,
the true
we,
chef
we, well his and yeah absolutely but we know he states it outright in this episode, but we already knew that he's very familiar with naturally grown ingredients. Yeah. It's something he's familiar with. So he's somebody who can appreciate that without, and maybe even prefer that without falling into the kind of sort of a rigid philosophical mindset, which often leads people down sort of railroad tracks to cultism or other potential issues.
I think his only introduction, I think when he was talking about how he would never eat replicated food, I can't remember exactly, but I don't think Sisko heard that part. I think his first introduction was when she talked about not using pads or something like that. I think that
I just
was
remember
first...
Sisko mentioning with his, he thought going this... out, going, he talks about he and his brothers having to go like collect the vegetables and stuff and ingredients.
Yeah. He knew the shit was kind of shady from the start, you know. From the get-go, it was messed
up. He knew shit was shit.
Absolutely.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, right.
Just like Columbo.
Her whole shit was built on a lie. And
Columbo always knows.
But she also her whole shit was built on a lie, but she also seemed like she was into it. So it would have been nicer to know more about that sort of dissonance, if there was meant to be one. Maybe it was just kind of like,
I'm curious too, because when you look at, you know, when you look at the writers of the episodes, like, all right, oh, I'm curious.
I don't
who wrote this story?
They're writers.
Well, it's
they're meant to be read. I look at their words. I hear the words that come out of the actors' mouths. I do not look at the writers.
Okay.
Which side are you on?
You can't look at the writers' names. And in this case,
fuck, you're right.
It's one of those issues where it was a bunch of people, because the teleplay was written by Jeff King, Richard Manning, and Hans Beimler. He's a familiar name in Star Trek production. The story was by Jim Trombetta and James Crocker.
It was Steve Auster.
Trombetta and Trombettolino. Trombettolino and clarinet Sona. Flutarundo.
You've got like five names
Ravioli Smith.
When you have five names in the credits, that means way more names behind the scenes, right? Because if you have a story, you know, written by Ron Moore, well, it's Ron Moore led up the team of people who were writing, right?
Too many cooks in the kitchen.
Too many cooks, but sometimes it's like it just means this story was maybe passed around a lot. I don't know.
Yeah,
I tried to
too
look
many
up,
cooks.
I only found a few tidbits about the production. But it does seem like a too many cooks situation.
Too many cooks.
Too many cooks, yes.
Too many cooks.
So, core. Yeah.
Core.
That being said, you know, those minor core things behavior. Being noted. As the reaction to
core.
our advertisement for this episode, noting core that we would be behavior. Doing this episode, I think demonstrates people remember this episode. This is a memorable episode.
I remember that one.
I don't think a lot of people say this is one of their favorite episodes, but it's one of those ones where they're like, oh yeah, I
know
didn't
like
that
it
one.
So much, but I remember
it's
it.
Like, I think they like the episode because it is a good episode. It's a good story. And I think a lot of that is it's the acting. It's the actors holding up. Jesse doesn't have one of those nights.
What?
At least Jesse doesn't have a. Sometimes Jesse's been here with like just like a big old bag of like peanut brittle.
Just crunching away.
Individually wrapped Kinder Bueno things.
Wow. Core. That's delicious.
Okay.
Core behavior.
What were we talking about? We were talking about Star
core,
Trek.
Core.
Deep Space Nine.
Core behavior.
No, it's the acting. The acting is great. And I think across the board, I mean, maybe not the, what was the son, Vinod or whatever? I don't know.
Vinod. Vinod.
Weirded me out.
90s
guy. But Alexis.
And Alexis. Alexis and Vinod.
Alexis. Elixir. Do you think one of these writers had, no. had like something against somebody named Alexis? Because I was
oh,
like,
yeah.
why would
I thought
be
you were
going to
make say something about Elixir.
No.
Like, no. Well,
no,
yeah, no, I think yeah, yeah, yeah. I kept thinking Alexis too.
But Gail Strickland played Alexis.
From Strickland Propane.
I think she did a very good job.
She was in Steve Seinfeld, and she did like a bunch of episodes on that Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman show, and it was all around the same time as this episode, like within a 2-year span.
I don't think so.
Getting a lot of work.
She was on
that time.
The same character on two episodes of Seinfeld.
I don't think so,
Dan.
I do think
Dan is challenging your facts. And then you have.
Dan bits over there.
You have Julia Nixon, who is a smaller role, but she played Cassandra.
Right.
And it was a good choice of name.
What are women's fashions like back home now?
What that name is associated with. She was previously on Star Trek TNG. She played Ensign Leon Tzu in Arsenal of Freedom.
That means I'll have to alter everything I own.
She was in the running to play Tasha Yar.
Oh.
But she didn't get it. Obviously, in the end. But she had these two roles.
Out here.
But the actors, I thought, did a really good job bringing the storyline.
Would you like me to massage you with it?
led by Avery Brooks. So. Because throughout this whole... Because I agree with you, Dan. Avery Brooks lands... And or Captain Sisko lands, and Avery Brooks plays him as like these people are weird, weirding me out, especially this lady.
Yeah,
I don't trust this lady. She's gonna cause me troubles, and lo and behold,
with
she
a capital
did.
T.
There's trouble right here in River City.
Mm-hmm.
But the Sisko's main scene, I mean, the most powerful scene, of course, we've already alluded to it, but it's when she throws him in the box in place of O'Brien. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because
Chief O'Brien.
It wasn't one of those deals where they were going to throw O'Brien in the box and Sisko's like, I'm responsible. She was straight up like, no, you're responsible. I'm throwing you. Because she was like, you're the problem.
Mm-hmm.
She's as a cult leader from cult strategy perspective. She's like, if I can neutralize him, she perceived that then that would be the main issue.
Him in line.
She probably didn't realize that Chief O'Brien, in addition to being tenacious, would
Chief O'Brien
eventually become the most important person in Federation history.
Damn right.
As has been evidenced by that episode of Lower Decks.
And then Joseph was all talking about maybe he was just getting his tricorder to help us out. And then she did some kind of weird Brano reversal words. Like, I was like, what did she just say?
Thank you, Joseph, for being an idiot and being a piece of shit. Right.
Pointing out that
this
like,
is point out that you
stupid.
Suck. That these
this is good.
These people are terrible. They're a virus. They're a mental virus. Thank you, Joseph.
I mean, it's pretty impressive like how fucking like cool, like level-headed she kept herself up until the very end, which makes me think she believed her shit, but like, you know, a little bit.
It makes me...
Even though she was faulty, her logic was folly, like she still believed something.
It makes me feel sympathy for at least one, if not more, of the writers of this episode, because their depiction of this horrifically manipulative person is spot on. I think it's another strength of this episode. The writing here of how this character works and how she fucks with people is very accurate to real life. I forget, I think it might have been Michael Piller. Who one of them mentioned that
Caterpillar?
they had a relative who was involved in a cult, so that that when this story came up, they'd already had done some like just personal research into the whole thing. So that maybe influenced this. Wow. As well.
Yeah, there was a few times where she was doing the whole like illusion of choice thing, be like, it's up to you, it's up to you, you can do it. But yeah, like I said before, like that can just result in all sorts of sort of sideways, sort of negative reactions that aren't directly related to what
it's
you're doing.
Part of why I like that scene with Sisko in the box so much, because Sisko was demonstrating to all
what's
the
in
people,
the box?
What's in the box.
It's Commander Sisko.
Oh,
he's all twitchy.
Sisko goes in the box. She pulls him out, and offers him water and is all like, hey, I wish I didn't have to beat you.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you just you know, help me. I love you so much.
Just help me. Okay. It's not my fault. It's your fault that you don't get the water.
Water be a little bit browner? If they were all natural and shit.
That's a good question.
Maybe they saved a few Brita water filters.
Is it just like some super clear water? They got some glacier shit going on?
Maybe they had some coffee filters they remembered. Probably not allowed to have coffee filters down there.
They're not drinking coffee.
Too sophisticated technology. Well,
yeah, but like it was. Yeah, but instead of being like, I could give you the water, I'm not giving you the water. It's you are not helping me give you the water. It's your fault. Yeah,
You have to do is change. It's a variation on the there are four lights.
It's a reprogramming.
You know, the five lights. There are five lights. You know, there are four lights.
Four
lights.
When she made him work that extra shift, you know, he knew
to make him tired. To make him hungry and tired, because that's how you psychologically and physically manipulate people. But what was so awesome?
Then also further, she could also like use it as ammunition later too. She'd make him tired first of all, but then she could also be like, oh, you're skipping out on your shifts or
there
whatever.
Are limits.
Like, make little passive aggressive comments.
There are limits to her powers, and that's what's awesome. Cisco did was Cisco was demonstrating the limits to her powers, because he gets pulled out of the box, refuses the water, crawls dramatically back into the box and closes it himself in front of the entire fucking village, saying, fuck this lady. I'm not going to do what she fucking tells me just because she tells me it. It doesn't matter that she's weakened me, made me tired, refused me food and water, punished me. I don't give a fuck. I'd rather die than succumb to this lady's things. And this is, again, where the ending of the episode, I think, is a little weird, because you'd think at least some... I thought the ending was going to be... or should have been some people went with them, a lot of people stayed, and we do want to leave, but let's we want to figure out, because some people might want
to
stay.
I would have bought the whole everyone wants to stay thing if they hadn't established that she wasn't lying.
Exactly.
I would have been like, oh, so they're shedding, they like this stuff now. They were probably making a point about indoctrination,
and that one lady was even like, you've been lying to us for 10 years, and then she still was like, yeah, I'm gonna stay.
Right, so they were making a point about indoctrination, maybe I don't know, but like even then it's just kind of like, well, she did, I mean, like you said, Jesse, they fucking pointed out, even they were like, you fucking lied to us, you know?
There's that one great scene where there's like four people, they're all in when the crowd finds out, you know, that the subterfuge, and there's this I thought you were gonna touch the sabotage button. I didn't say sabotage. I said subterfuge. You gotta get the subterfuge button.
Oh, that's right. I don't know if I have it with me. So no. Why don't you continue?
Do you have a subterfuge button?
I do somewhere, but I don't think
do you have a centrifuge button?
If only. No, I don't have a sub. In some land, I have a subterfuge button. But we won't
super
hear it tonight.
Super subterfugeristic expialidocious.
But you won't hear it tonight. Yeah. So, you were saying something, Patrick, about subterfuge?
I think I just said the word subterfuge.
Subterfuge. Gormagander?
Gormagander.
Subterfuge.
Core behavior.
Preference. Succotash.
Try this.
Succotash.
That's what sounds like Janeway.
Try this.
That's what sounds like Janeway.
Yeah.
Try this. Try this.
Yeah. There's coffee in that nebula.
Lovely fruit. We have some lovely fruit. Try this. Try this. We have some lovely fruit. Try this. Try this. We have some lovely fruit.
Yes.
Try this.
Yes.
Try this.
Yes.
We have some lovely fruit.
Good. We did that a number of times.
That fruit was funny looking.
I had to get the rhythm right. What'd you say?
That fruit was funny looking.
Yeah, it was no TNG ship, like, brightly colored weird poofs or whatever they eat on this.
Yeah, it was not brightly colored.
That should be a cereal, brightly covered
it was
weird poofs.
Earthy, very earthy color.
Pit woofies?
Pit woofies.
Pit poof.
What was it? You know, in that episode, the neutral zone TNG. What was it? Was that 80s guy? Sex workers?
Are you talking about when
Pit Wolfies?
Are you talking about
Pit
the
Wolfies?
Three people where one was like a business dude and then one was like a drug guy, rock star
the
guy?
The country singer.
Country singer, and then someone was a scientist or something.
No, she was just a lady.
Just some lady with some.
They didn't have scientists.
This was the 1980s, so they were all like, "There's going to be housewives in the future."
Right.
The neo.
What are women's fashions like back home now?
The neoliberal plan requires that the depictions of the future must include typical gender roles.
What are women's fashions like back home now?
Who won the soccer matches this year?
Soccer.
He mentioned some character.
He means association football.
Football?
Soccer.
I think they originally called it soccer. I think it was originally
soccer.
Called.
Association football. Association football, and soccer is short for association for some reason because of England.
So
because England's old, they get to do whatever the fuck they want.
They get to say words however they want to.
Here in America, our nicknames got to make some sort of sense. In England, they don't got to make no sense.
When, we're going to say this word this way and this word this
careful.
Way.
Careful.
Yeah, that's the right you get for being cobbled together for, you know, 1,000 years or so.
When he talked about the soccer game, he mentioned some
angles.
He mentioned some player, and then Sisko was like, no, he got injured, but he's still playing, but he's not as good, or maybe he stopped recently. That was like 10 years ago, though. I mean, I don't know what the shelf life of a soccer player is.
No, Sisko said that happened like 4 years ago.
4 years ago?
Yeah. So they were
asking.
No, I
missed that part.
Yeah. They were, the guy was like, is so and so still playing? And then Sisko said, no, 4 years ago he was injured.
4 years ago. Okay, then why would that guy assume that he would still be playing? I mean,
I don't think he did assume, and I think Sisko demonstrated that it was a silly question because obviously he's not.
I think he assumed by asking a question, you assume it's possible. You wouldn't ask the question otherwise.
Of course, because it would be possible. It would be possible.
That's what I was saying.
Tom Brady's a piece of shit, but he played until he was like 100 years old.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I just think I'm wondering what the average shelf life of a soccer player is. That's all. I don't know the answer to that. None of us do. I'm just curious. If anyone out there.
None of us do.
Soccer's low impact. Generally.
Yeah, but they're
Do you know
but
what's
they're
high
always
impact?
Like hurting their, always you know hurting their
you
knee
know,
or something.
You know what's high impact? You know what's high impact?
From under?
No.
From
under. Taking breaks. Oh. Taking breaks.
From under cheese?
On a regular schedule.
From so break is going to hit me in the face.
The audience is psychologically tricked into thinking that we've stopped talking and they get a mental break from us.
My wife told me something along those lines just last week.
What an odd cadence.
Yeah, I know.
With that, we'll be right back. Okay, we're back.
My wife.
I was looking.
My
little,
wife.
A little pull the curtain.
My wife.
Yeah, I was gonna. I was
the
looking.
William Shatner business.
Oh, I was looking for like either Borat or a Borat impersonator to be like you
my
know.
My wife.
Yeah, just to be you know.
Borat impersonator.
Well, like on Bob's Burgers, they had an episode. Yeah, where they had and I think on
Comedy Bang Bang, it comes up a lot. Scott Aukerman's always saying my wife. Yeah. Well, not these days, but back in the day.
And you could have just done your.
And
own.
It's always fit. Always silly in Philadelphia. Always sunny in Philadelphia. They think they did that
I thought
too.
You were going to play the very upsetting tape of William Shatner when he calls 911 when he found his wife dead in the pool.
No.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't.
It would have been distasteful.
Is that for real?
Oh, yeah. It's for real. It's upsetting.
When did that happen?
But that's a bummer.
Well,
but
it was a long time ago.
But
he's got a few wives since
but
then.
In the 70s? Is the my wife thing because it became...
No, that was the 2000s.
Because the my wife thing, because it became like overplayed, but then it was funny again because people were making fun of the fact it was overplayed. Yes. I wonder if it's still funny. That's the question.
Yeah.
That's
a very interesting question.
So you're going to play O'Brien saying my wife again?
My wife.
My wife. Is that funny?
I mean, it's funny because O'Brien is using an odd cadence that is unrelated.
So for the wrong reasons.
To you. So this
the wrong reasons.
Yeah, and this is obviously well before Borat. It was February 13th, 1994 was when this episode first aired on television in syndication. Okay. Did you have something? You had a look on your face, Dan, like you had something ready to go.
No.
But apparently not.
No.
First time.
This episode doesn't have Odo or Bashir or Cork.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. They were talking about the Old West like art form of lassoing.
So we lassoed.
And we haven't even mentioned this whole Jadzia and Major Kira going on a little rescue mission.
Right.
So the Old West now in the galaxy. When in Starfleet, Old West specifically refers to like the old frontier West.
She then specified the Western United States.
She said Old West, though, I think.
She said the Western United States at
well,
some point.
What other Old West?
This was something they did
very,
in the Western.
A very talented Old West American art form. Okay, yeah, Old West American. Okay, fine. You win.
Bang.
Fine. I'm wrong.
I didn't say you were wrong.
I did. I said I was wrong.
All right, then you're wrong.
So they sent that. Dan. Often wrong, Dan. So they sent the what was that? There's some Cardassian ship name, the Garmo or the Gummo.
The Garmo Gumbo.
The Garmo Gumbo.
They were on the Orinoco, which is a river in South America.
Yes.
Hmm? I don't know what the name of the shuttle was. You guys,
you mean the runabout?
The runabout.
The runabout.
Was it a runabout? It was.
If
some...
you call it a shuttle, we will get emails.
Oh right, yeah, it's not.
Strongly worded emails.
You will have to be scuttled.
I will forward them to you.
If you call it a shuttle, you will have to be scuttled.
You have to be scuttled if you call it a shuttle.
Scuttlebutt.
I'm sorry, I said that.
It's what are you looking up, Dan?
I was trying to figure out the name of this fucking ship.
Which ship?
The Romulan ship.
The one that Sisko and O'Brien.
They were on the Rio Grande.
There was some other ship name they were talking about. Maybe I was thinking about the next episode after this.
Are you talking about the ship that landed with the people? That ship?
Maybe.
Because they did have a name for that ship.
That was called something.
Yeah, they were like, this was called the Gobbledygook, but now we call it the cabin.
The cabin.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about. I might have been watching the next episode and got it mixed up.
Why were you watching? The next episode is Shadowplay.
Yeah, I know.
You should be watching.
Did you just like start watching Shadowplay afterwards?
No. Well, I did because like.
Because it just kept going?
I was doing something and it just went into the next one. So
you were like, oh, fuck.
What do I do? I gotta watch it.
Yeah, Paramount does that.
And then the guy was all like, holograms.
Gemulon 5.
Gemulon.
They were going to Gemulon 5.
Oh, that's right. That was where they were originally going.
But Netflix did that too, if back when it was on Netflix.
Yeah, most of them do that, I think. To some extent.
Hulu.
Most of them. Most of them just start playing the next one.
So the old lasso trick they did was simply just a tractor beam at warp speed. That's all it was. Which is difficult, I'm assuming, but it's not like a lasso trick. It's just doing a tractor beam.
I agree. I thought it was funny because the analogy.
Like, I would like to have seen like a CGI tractor beam lasso thing.
The analogy doesn't hold because really what they were doing is they were traveling. They're both traveling. Impossibly traveling significantly faster than the speed of light.
Yeah.
One of the ships is all goobling and gobbling, and then they just attach a magical tractor beam.
Yeah.
And then luckily it all works out and they slow down. I guess the idea, I understand that the analogy is, yes, you lasso a horse or a steer. You lasso a steer and then you pull back with the horse and slow down. I get it, but I don't know. It doesn't have to be a lasso.
Just say
we are using a tractor beam.
The Orinoco.
The Orinoco. You know that song by Enya, Orinoco Flow?
It's the one that's like, Orinoco.
I think there's another, there's an Orinoco in North America too, but it's
you are not singing the
Is it the one that's like, Orinoco?
No. Okay.
Orinoco.
Dude, that's funny.
You're getting closer to the Enya song. Whatever you first started singing was some sort of like a punk rock version. I don't know.
Sail like, away.
Orinoco.
So they're talking about sending a tractor beam to the Orinoco. I guess they
from the Orinoco.
From it says computer. Dax says, computer, send a tractor beam to the Orinoco. Prepare for a warp tour. So they sent a tractor beam from DS9 to the ship they were riding on, which is the Orinoco, which is lasso, the Rio Grande.
No. That doesn't make any sense.
This is what it says. If the trajectory had been slightly off, the star's gravity flux would have deflected it in a new direction, referring to their ship, the Rio Grande. Computer, send a tractor beam to the Orinoco. So the Rio Grande was something else.
The Rio Grande is the other business.
Yeah, so they talk about the Rio Grande in a few lines earlier, so I'm trying to figure out what the difference between the Orinoco and the Rio Grande is.
Regardless, there are other things that I am a little bit confused about, and I watched the episode a couple times, but if it's in there, it didn't jump out at me. My understanding, my assumption... is that
they were? I'm sorry. That I think Dax and Kira were on the Orinoco, but that's why it was weird when they were saying send a tractor beam to the Orinoco because they were doing it from the.
Maybe it's an error in the transcript.
Maybe they had to send. Maybe they had to transport.
Didn't they go to the Rio Grande?
Maybe they had to. They had a physical like tractor beam you hold, and they had to transport it to. That doesn't make any sense though. Anyway, it's not. It's weird. I'm going to write it off as a mistake.
Well, there's a few things that were a little confusing. First of all, yes, okay, the whole tractor beam thing. I was confused a little bit why they didn't just like beam over. I guess they said because it was wobbling a little bit.
How come they got all snippy at each other?
Oh yeah, they did get snippily for a second.
A little bit of snippliness.
That was weird.
Not a big deal.
Well, can they transport it at warp speed?
I mean, yes,
they can tractor.
They can when the plot calls for it.
Yeah, I know. When the writers, when the writers say they can tractor beam it, why can't? Well, it's because it's making
whatever.
More exciting.
Yeah, they're just adding a little extra flavor of.
I wasn't sure why it was so important they get that ship, because if that ship had
well,
data,
because they didn't know what happened to they have no idea that Captain Sisko and Chief O'Brien are on this planet because
they got to look at the logs, man.
Because they erased the logs were erased.
Okay, well,
were able to trace the ship's trajectory backwards.
They still didn't know that the logs.
I was under the impression that Dax and Kira knew that the runabout, the Rio Grande, was empty. That was the impression I got.
Only when they got up to it.
And then
because it wasn't responding to them.
But then after they lassoed it with a tractor beam and then they did it successfully, they were like, phew. And that's when they made the decision to lasso it. So why did they care about lassoing it if they knew it was empty? For the logs, why couldn't they just use the internet to transport the... Because they don't have internet.
They have network computers, but not the internet.
They can transport a person, just not information.
Yeah, not information.
That's too like esoteric.
Even though the person is information.
Right, yeah.
Oh, I don't want to think about it anymore. It's so complicated.
You have to access a database.
No, but what I was getting at was that my implicit assumption was that when they were talking about humans colonizing near the wormhole, that they were talking about on the
other... I'll colonize near your wormhole.
Colonizing...
Get it, Jesse?
Like the Klingons around Uranus?
It's pronounced Uranus.
You guys shouldn't be so blue.
One time I had a teacher, he was going to say Uranus, but he went like Uranus, and he corrected himself.
I think you've told that anecdote many times.
Not to the people to the people of the world.
What was he talking about? Was he talking about talking about math or something?
He was
something?
Telling a Star Trek joke. It didn't make any sense. He pronounced it Uranus.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. He was talking about some kind of like space stuff.
I'm asking you, gentlemen, if you know the answer to my question, which is the planets that they're talking about. They're saying like people want to colonize near the wormhole. My assumption was is they were referring to the other side of the wormhole in the Gamma Quadrant. Mm. Is that your assumption as well? They don't state it outright. We don't see them flying through the wormhole. We don't see Dax and
that's what you would assume.
Because there's no planets by the wormhole on this side, right? As far as we know.
Well,
the wormhole was in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, right.
And then they moved Deep Space Nine to the wormhole. Right? Mm. That was like one of the first things they did was Deep Space Nine was in orbit around Bajor and they moved it to the wormhole so they could be all like posted up right in front of the wormhole. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming they mean in the Gamma Quadrant.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. That whole part was, I missed it's, that whole
I
part.
Asked
I,
this,
no
I asked
help.
This in part because these people talk about they were planning on this one planet, but there were,
right.
That was way before the wormhole was available. So were these people on some like mega 10-year journey before they even got to the planet to get out there? That's what I'm a little confused about.
Yeah.
I
didn't even bother to think about that part. I was like, they were because like when they give that opening stuff in a lot of Star Trek episodes, it's like we're here on a meeting to do this about that. It's like that's not important. They're just creating a premise that you don't need to know about, but it's a setup.
You're absolutely right. It's just in the context of Deep Space Nine, particularly what comes later. But even from the beginning, there was this political aspect, this foreign policy aspect, military and economic strategic location. Aspect to this wormhole changes the deal, because recall they posted Commander Sisko to Deep Space Nine because it was a shitty assignment and they thought he had a bad attitude and he was all depressed
because he didn't like Picard
and all sorts of other stuff, and then it happened to be that the wormhole was discovered while he was in command according to the events of the first episode, the pilot episode, Emissary.
What's a pilot?
So anyway, you got to assume they mean it's on the other side of the wormhole.
Because that's sort of the whole point of the show is that like they're colonizing.
Yeah,
there's
stuff going on around this new thing. But on the other hand, when do those people leave in order to get there? Because the idea is the wormhole traverses many tens of thousands of light years, which would take tens of years to get out that way to the Gamma Quadrant. So I'm just saying.
I don't know.
Might have caught one of those rare logic-breaking issues in Star Trek.
When they were chasing that the Rio Grande, which side of the wormhole was that on? Is that what
exactly?
You're saying?
I presume that was on
not,
the other side.
It was not,
you know,
because
it was on the same side as wherever that planet was. Because all that Alexis did was she beamed on board and she pointed it towards the sun. But I guess she's not so good at technology, so
they're
she
not.
Exactly
that's
right.
The problem. If they had been good at technology, they wouldn't have fucked up that part of their plan.
She's good enough to invent anti-technology, but not good enough to correctly point a ship in the correct direction to hit a giant fucking star.
Yeah. I know. And she assumed that she was at the end, she was like, banned.
Maybe that's not as easy as you might think because, you know, space is huge.
But she can get it moving in a direction, although it got all wobbly.
Even the same star as the system?
Yes, it was the same star as the system. That was the implication.
That was the primary.
At the end, she was all like, Ben, we destroyed your ship. And then at some point, it's established that they don't exactly say when. They sort of...
She didn't even know.
They implicitly established that the ship wasn't destroyed.
Because Kira shows up.
And then that didn't phase... Nothing phased her. She was just like, okay, whatever. They didn't even remark upon it. She wasn't even like, oh, your ship's okay. Like, they just pretended it didn't happen. There was just like, I don't know.
We all know people like that.
The Rio Grande was moving warp 1.3 in an intercept course. I'm trying to find out where this thing was going. So
she pointed it from the planet to the sun. It missed the sun, and so it was on the other side of the sun.
Yeah, I was just wondering if they had a name, if they had any names that dropped or anything.
Yeah, they have a name for the system, which is
they
name of the sun.
They named the planet.
What was it, like Aurelius or some business like that? Something along those lines.
It was 100. It was 100. It was 160 million kilometers from Aurelius Minor.
Aurelius, which makes me think of those bird people.
Smellidosia.
What?
I like O'Brien in this episode. I always like O'Brien, but O'Brien's great because
baffle plates.
He talks a little bit about his business on Setlick 3, which was all the Cardassian war business. So we learn a little bit about his background. But for me,
my wife,
you know, he invents this cool compass thing.
That was a cool compass.
He's all like,
yeah. It was a compass for duonetic fields or something.
He's hoeing some corn.
With hematite.
He's solving mysteries. But to me, my favorite thing.
He deserves a raise for saving Sisko like that.
It wasn't even just the whole gimmick where he put up his uniform and the stupid kid was like, oh, I'm going to shoot it with an arrow.
Oh, yeah, right. Wasn't really him.
He jumped out of a tree.
O'Brien knew how to do that because of technology allowed him to dupe that kid by putting his suit up on nothing.
I think one way to look at it, O'Brien's all that stuff that O'Brien did with the technology and all that stuff was that the effect of it was that the writers were subtly pointing out that you don't have to not use the primitive, or you do not have to use the unsophisticated technology. You can still use it. O'Brien, it works with the most sophisticated stuff all day, but he's perfectly comfortable ratcheting to a level where he can use this other stuff. And that gets to my favorite thing that O'Brien did in this episode, which is when he knocks the kid over, Vinod over, he's just chatting, and then like without even saying anything, he just casually just immediately undoes the guy's bowstring and ties the dude up with the bowstring. Is like, come with me. And I just love something about that was both like hilarious and also sort of cold and horrifying that O'Brien just sort of casually is like, all right, I'm just gonna tie your ass up with your own bowstring.
It's because technology didn't make him
fat and lazy and dull.
Fat and
it's
lazy
been a while since he had a cup
dull.
Of coffee, so
so he's a little bitter.
Yeah,
so it's not technology that does that to people. People do that to people if they are like that. You know, it's like you can make a hammer.
You're just giving the NRA argument.
No. Oh, God damn it.
Guns don't kill people. People kill people.
Oh, man, that's a bummer. But you can build it's true. You can build a house You can build a house with a hammer, or you can bash someone's head in. It's your choice.
You're damn
now, of
right.
course, there's a
I
line.
I like shooting guns. I don't like shooting people.
No, I don't either.
I mean, to be fair, I don't know that I don't like shooting people.
But if people just happen to get in the way of you shooting... Wait a minute. Okay.
I suppose if there's enough instances of it being problematic, you might want to look further into it. I'll say that's fair enough. But
I'm a big enough person to admit I've never shot somebody, so I don't know how it feels.
And I guess Alexis was saying...
It could be that the exhilaration...
I bet it hurts.
I bet the
maybe
exhilaration
much
might
like,
be addicting.
Much Alexis was saying that... Even though technology doesn't necessarily make you fat, lazy, and dumb, it makes enough people fat, lazy, and dumb that we have to stop it here and now. Maybe that's what she was saying.
Maybe, but we're doing a lot of guessing.
Yeah,
that's the problem with this episode. We have to guess all this stuff.
O'Brien like was like, I'll knock you out. He was like, I'm going to knock you out, basically. Yeah. He's just like, it's not going to hurt at all.
Which was weird.
I thought he was going to pull out some kind of something that made him, that was like, tweak him. I was like, he didn't have technology to make a knock you out. But yeah, he just punched him in the back of the neck.
And the sound effect, the Foley sound effect was actually upsetting because it wasn't like crack. It was just like, thunk. Yeah, I was like, ooh, that makes me feel weird. It was soft. Because that guy had a soft head.
Yeah.
If that wasn't hurting then, it was going to hurt later, man.
You would think so.
Someone's knocked out for that long, they have a serious concussion, and you need to check that shit
out. Well, and that was another aspect where, again, the things get confusing because...
He had it coming, dude.
Because that character, Joseph, on the one hand, he's saying... He's clearly having some disagreements. He's one of the people who's willing to kind of push back against Alexis, even in small ways, you know, right from the beginning. On the other hand, he's like, oh, but I was the last convert, but I'm fully converted now. Mm. I totally agree. And then he won't let O'Brien go, but he's like, okay, if you hit me in the back of the head, mm-hmm. I'll let you hit me in the back. It's so confusing because it's like, I'm not going to just let you go and then say you hit me in the back of the head. Like, you're going to knock me out for real, mm-hmm. and I'm cool with that. But then at the end, he's like, oh, but we're going to stay here even though she lied to us.
Yeah.
It's confusing.
That was confusing.
What a weird guy.
Yeah. It was fucked up when she gave... Cisco like double duty. It was because double duty.
It was so stupid.
She gave him double duty.
Oops. She gave
him
Decker.
She gave him double duty because
you said it again.
I know, double duty. She gave him double. Joseph said like tri-quarter in this episode. He goes tri-quarter. But she gave him double duty because Cisco. Basically just like had a discussion with her. That's all it was. He was like, I don't agree with your philosophy. Let's talk about it. And meanwhile, she's saying, you can believe and think and make whatever choice you make. And he's like, well, I don't agree with you. So she's like, maybe you should like do duty tonight or something, you know? So she's... Right.
It is why I am philosophically very flexible in a number of areas, but I am fairly absolutist when it comes to freedom of speech. Mm-hmm. Just for the sake of, yes, there's people who are going to be able to say awful things.
Core behavior.
But one of the things you do to control people...
Do-do. You said do to control. One of the things you do control people.
Say that.
If you want to control people for whatever your motivations are, positive or negative, if you want to control people, one of the most efficient strategies is to limit the information they have available to them. Limit the perspectives that they are given to. That's absolutely what she's doing here. That's why Cisco is a threat, because he's saying she claims to be all about freedom and people can do whatever they want.
They're cut off from the rest of the.
But as soon as somebody does something, that's a threat to her, and that's the bad sign. If you live in a good culture, it's going to be one where you're not threatened by somebody who comes in saying like they disagree.
You limit the information they have, and you also like make sure that you have all the information that they have, because there was also the part Cassandra was like, she believes in open. We believe in open doors here, and the whole open door policy that was a surveillance.
To watch people do it.
Yeah. Gasco, the
Romulan. She wants to watch people making the beast with two backs.
Shady, yes.
The vessel, the Romulan vessel, Gasco, the Rio Grande's been spotted.
Gasco.
Where's the Rio Grande been spotted? The details are coming in from Starfleet. The Romulan vessel, Gasco, reported seeing. Okay, so the Romulan vessel reported seeing an abandoned runabout. That's what I was thinking of. The Gasco.
Gasco.
NCC 72452.
One last thing, because we are coming up on the end. End of our discussion.
I definitely have one last thing too. Maybe yours is the same as mine. I don't know.
It could be, because
we're gonna have to find out.
It doesn't have to be the last thing we discussed. It was just the one thing I wanted. It's the last thing in my notes that I wanted to make sure we did not skip over, which was, what do you think was the intention of the directors and or writers ending the episode with those two kids?
Yeah, that was exactly what I was going to say.
Staring at the box.
I don't know.
And I guess you could argue also staring at the place where they beamed away.
They wanted to know those two kids. They wanted to know what was in the box. What's in the box?
They wanted to go. I thought they wanted to go back.
I think they wanted to go. But at the same time, they're looking at the box, because it's like, are they looking at where the people beamed away, or are they looking at the box? Is it both? Is it like a convergence of like that? Those people are free from the box.
I wasn't sure if it was they wanted to go away, or if it was supposed to represent some moment they had some lifelong realization that this is a fucked up scene, because they were like looking at this box and how much trouble it caused.
They specifically picked two children who clearly were 10 years old or at least were infants. They remember nothing but this world.
That's what I'm saying, is but like they had this clear memory, because
how much box torture have these kids seen?
As you grow older, you know, you have certain memories that start to stick in your head for the rest of your life, and that comes around earlier than 10, but also around age 10 it's pretty impressionable for certain memories. And to me, it just seemed like they were looking at this box being like, this box has caused a lot of trouble.
How much box torture have they seen?
And they're like, like, how much is this box going to play into our life, like, here, now that from she's here gone. On out? Yeah, and so they're just sort of looking at it. They're like, it's like...
They're going to keep doing that.
They're like, shit. They're like haunted by this box now. But also, it could just be they wanted to leave, so I don't know.
Lower Deck should come back and check on these people.
Yeah.
Yeah, they need a second. They need a second contact, yeah, for sure.
Answer some of these questions. I found it to be a powerful shot. It was a sort of unusual ending shot.
They're pre-warp, so I guess.
Yeah, but they're post-warp because they're humans. They're not like, it's not like they didn't know about no warps.
I think they just need to take these people out.
Well,
behavior.
It'd be funny if Lower Decks goes back and there's just like nobody there. They're all like, oh yeah, no, we all left like 2 weeks after that. We all discussed it. Yeah, and we're like, this is stupid.
it's like, wait a minute, they're gonna take her to like a prison.
I thought it'd be funny. It was a little too early in DS9's run, but for me, it would have been funny if at the end there was a little postscript that said like, 2 weeks later, the Dominion showed up and murdered them all.
Yeah, because.
They didn't know they were there before, but because they saw that runabout flying through the system, they were like, what's that? Somebody flying a crazy runabout through the system.
What's this from?
Does it say William?
William.
Is it from The Secret of Monkey Island?
No.
Is it from The Secret of Monkey Island 2?
What is this Monkey Island?
That was the theme song from The Secret of Monkey Island.
Okay. I don't even know what the hell you're talking
about. Yeah. Okay.
I know me some Monkey Island, man.
I know me fucking island.
That song is awesome.
It is.
You should look up that one sometime. You should look up the theme song and all the remixes that people have, or like the arrangements people have done of it.
Is this a video game?
Yeah, it's a classic point and click adventure game by LucasArts. It's like they had this whole sentence structure thing where you were like, pick up thing and use with thing. Really cool.
Oh, okay. Wait.
It was a different approach to the Sierra model, but which did like King's Quest and those kinds of things.
I was all about Sierra. You ever play the Sierra Robin Hood game?
No, but I'm familiar. Badass. I'm familiar with it. Yeah, I played the police quest games are interesting.
The VGA simulation of like water, like a stream and stuff was pretty rad.
Yeah, it looked real in this really kind of fake, but pixelated, also realistic. Yeah. Really, it was kind of eerie in a way.
It's a style of pixelation that I hope comes. They're getting close to it. You know, there's this popular thing to do all this sort of retro style pixelated art. And then no one's quite gotten to that Robin Hood Sierra vibe.
No, but there's some games, like there's this game Dead Cells that actually has a really cool pixelated animation vibe. But
that's
it's like not.
That's a contemporary game.
Yeah, but it's not quite like the Sierra animation. But it is.
But you're talking about a full game, because I was referring more to like people do this like sort of animated GIF art.
Oh,
it's like pixelated.
Oh yeah, I'd
so
be into that.
It's all sorts of things, but use it sort of in the vibe and the style. I don't know. We'll just have the AI do it for us soon.
Well, yeah.
That was from the scene when O'Brien was
Chief O'Brien.
When they took him because he was trying to help the person, and then they had the arrow, and they were gonna, and he was, and they were, and Cisco's like, don't put him in the box, and then she's like, we're gonna put you in the box.
Play
and
it
then,
again.
And then O'Brien was like,
well, yeah.
What you meant?
Trying all hailing frequencies.
I bet you are. O'Brien.
This is a good general purpose sound.
Trying all hailing frequencies.
Nice and clean. Some problem with some sounds is they have a music bed on them, which makes them great for the episode, just not great for isolation.
I hear that. All right.
Very good.
Well, speaking of the AI, with luck, we can start having the AI just put the episodes together. Instead of using Dan's algorithm, we'll just have Dan will create like an AI. A interface that feeds our podcast into the AI. It'll just figure out how to spit out new episodes.
Sabotage.
For the rest, and then Jesse, Dan, and I can just socialize instead of doing this whole podcast.
We'll just sit back and like listen to what happens.
It would only be a waste of time.
We might for the first few episodes, but once we're confident with it, we don't even have to listen to the podcast anymore.
We wouldn't really have to listen
to
it.
I'm not sure I see the connection.
I mean, it would just be for our own entertainment.
Yeah. But... We're not quite there yet. Give it a couple weeks.
Probably would have been in prison by now.
Give it a couple weeks.
You know what's funny? She told Steve. I'm sorry. She told Stevens, like, she's like, you're gonna probably gonna be. You would be in prison right now.
I know. That's right. Thanks for remembering that, because I was like, that's the most fucked up thing she did the entire episode. She's just be like, you'd be totally in fucking prison.
What the fuck?
Because you're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
What did that guy do in the first place?
He stole a candle.
She goes,
he stole a, how do you steal a candle?
And she goes, and Steven, my friend, you probably would have been in prison by now. And she, keeping in mind, she already put him in jail already. Yeah, so, I mean, I guess that's why she thought he was in prison.
Well, they're in some kind of weird pre-technological society. What constitutes stealing? That's shady.
Yeah, it is shady.
She's already setting up some kind of, like,
It's actually, I think,
manorial system or something.
Until you just mentioned that. Just,
oh, no.
I didn't even think about that. Not only is it a fucked up thing to say, it also is yet another example of her contravening the whole idea of, like, we're a community that helps each other.
Yeah.
But we have private property.
But,
like,
yeah,
that's,
but you're stealing. Yeah.
You're stealing a candle.
You took that without asking. That's the property of the state.
Yeah. Evil Janeway indeed. Okay, that was a great conversation about a fun, excellent, interesting episode of Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Next week, what are we going to talk about?
Nobody sounds fucking knows.
Like, we don't know yet.
Crash landing for her to find her paradise.
Yeah. That was the episode. I had to play the whole sound. All right, what are we doing next week? We don't know.
We don't know. That's right.
We're gonna ask
one of these days we'll be able to do it in real time.
We'll put this episode into Dan's algorithm. And then, so what that means is you'll have to look at our website or our social media in order to determine what your homework will be for next week. I don't know. Who knows? It's not going to be Deep Space Nine. It'll probably be, I don't know, Voyager, TOS, TNG, something like that. TAS. I don't know. It'll be something. But to find that information out, you can go to www.
Second Chances. This is the WGA article that recommended Second Chances for TNG.
By
TNG.
www.itsgotstartrek.com. If you want to listen to Second Chances, we just scroll back. We already talked about Second Chances.
And you can learn learn all about the WGA strike.
Okay.
According to my algorithm. But not really. Because that's not exactly what my algorithm is.
It's got Star Trek.com. You can write us emails at feedback.
The algorithm's just about It's Got Star Trek.
Feedback at itsgotstartrek.com. And we still have leftover emails from our 200th episode, because we had so many emails and so many audio submissions that we could not get them all in on that episode.
Oh,
so we're going to try to, where space allows, we'll get some of those emails
in.
But you can send us new emails with questions, comments, etc. at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com.
Jesse, the algorithm can be, you can feed any article into the algorithm. It's not just It's Got Star Trek.
Any text?
Text.
I'm just saying, like, the results are all, like, you know.
Well, the results will be Star Trek.
It's always, like, ends up being a lot of episodes we've already done.
Well, we've done a lot of episodes.
Well, I know we have. These are all true.
Okay, anyways.
I'm trying to get to the social media part, which is complicated because social media universe is going insane right now.
We're covering
all the bases. We're on Twitter. I'm not calling it
X.
We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky Social, Mastodon. All of these places, we're at It's Got Star Trek. You can find us on YouTube. That's basically it. But anyway, if you type in It's Got Star Trek into a search engine, you're going to find us. But the social media is where we'll post updates on what we're going to be watching next week.
It's wonderfully soothing.
Or you can just play it loose and loosey-goosey and just be like, I'm just going to wait until it comes out and then, you know, just listen
Turkey
to the episode
lurky.
Anyway.
Turkey lurky.
Do whatever you want. We can care less in the end.
Join us.
But yes. Oh, and the last thing is we have decided to leave up our audio submission button. So please feel free anytime if you want to send in an audio submission. We'd love to incorporate it into the show.
Yeah, that's cool.
You can find that on our website, or if you just want to get straight to it, it's gotstartrek.com/record. You can record up to 90 seconds to send to us, send us a question, comment about that week's episode, previous weeks, whatever.
Set us straight.
Correct us. That's perfectly acceptable too. But anyway, with all that being said, we wish you all the best for a wonderful week, and then we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
What are you doing?
Try an old rope trick I learned on Earth once.
A rope trick?
A very talented Hopi I knew did things with a rope you wouldn't believe.